Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, again, Lord, as we continue to hear about thine enemy, the enemy of the church and of our souls, we pray for thy continued protection today. And we ask, Lord, that thou grant us peace here to hear these things without distraction. And grant, Lord, that thy word, O Lord, may come home to our hearts and to our souls, that we may be careful, Lord, to watch out for this enemy this week and stay very close to thee. And ensure, Lord, that we are not in his hands, the hands of this strong man armed, but that we're in the hands of a great and a gracious Saviour. So do hear us tonight. Help us now, we pray. Grant us all the grace we need to speak for thee and to do thy business tonight, and to hear thy word in a way that's profitable to us. And we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, I'm starting this evening with Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, another text of scripture in the New Testament which mentions the devil that we are looking at today and continue to do so tonight. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul, if it was the Apostle Paul who wrote this epistle to these Hebrew believers, continues his letter like this: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." You'll be just surprised to hear who that was, who that is. Well, that is the devil. Destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, again, not last Sunday night, the one before that, we started looking together at confidence or trust in God in this little series on a Sunday night about the Christian. So before that, the Christian, every Christian has in common, so we're all believers. And then we started to see that we're also those who have confidence or those who trust in God. First of all, we looked at what these things are. We saw that confidence and trust in God, they're basically the same thing. To confide or to place sort of a confidence in God is to trust him. And they are the fruit, or at least they are a part of faith. And then secondly, we looked at four of the ways in which these things are sometimes used in the Bibles, sometimes used in our Bibles for making a confident or trusting profession of faith in God. And then secondly, for doing confident or trusting Christian service for God, whatever kind of service that may be, public service, private service. Then thirdly, for making confident or trusting supplication or prayer to God, that's how we should pray to him, self-confident, but confident in God and his promises and in the help of his Spirit. And then finally, for having confident or trusting Christian saving faith in God. These are some of the ways in which these things, confidence, trust in God, is used in our Bibles. And I finished by asking a number of what I trust were pertinent questions arising out of these four things. And God willing, we may go on to continue looking at these two things, confidence and trust in God, next Sunday evening. But for tonight, again, partly because it was Halloween yesterday, and I want to bring your attention to these things today. I want us now to conclude looking at what we commenced looking at this morning, namely the devil. We're looking at the devil this morning, Satan, the evil one, all the different names for him, a very real person acting, influencing the world today. We saw his origins, where he came from. We saw also his personality, what he's like, that he is a person, a very wicked person at that. And then we looked at certain other things concerning him this morning. But tonight I want us to look at a number of other things, kind of going on from those things this morning. What are they? The first thing I want to look at tonight concerning this being is where he is. So where he came from this morning, and what he's like, some of his names, some of his titles. But where is he? Where is he? Where is he tonight? Secondly, I need to remind you as a church, and remind you as Christians, of the nature of his power, just how powerful and how strong and how mighty he is. That we might hold him with kind of a healthy respect, if you like. We don't want to be totally petrified and terrified of him. We need to realize that he's more powerful than we are, and we need to treat him with a healthy respect. We don't respect him, but we treat him with a healthy respect in this regard. And thirdly and finally, I want to outline for you some of his works in the past, some of his continued works today, the way in which he's going to continue to work even to the end of this world. So I think that these things go on one from another. Where he's come from, what he's like, his name, shown us again what kind of a being he is, where he is, the nature of his power, the degree of his power, and what it is that he's done in the world, what it is that he's still doing in the world tonight. So first of all, where is he? Where is this being? Where is this person? Where is this great angel, this fallen angel? Where is his place? Well, there are perhaps two answers to that question. The first answer is this. That is perhaps true to say that he is in what the scriptures call, he is in the air, or he is in the heavenlies. It seems that sometimes he appears to have some kind of access even to the heavenly places. I was thinking of not only Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, but thinking of the beginning of Job, where Satan there, it's written of Satan that he comes into the presence of God in order to speak about Job before he tries Job and before he tempts Job. He comes into the heavenlies, he comes into the presence of God, where there are others present too. But think of Ephesians 2 and verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 2 that we had this morning, wherein in trespasses and sins in time past, the Ephesian believers, Paul himself, walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So in some sense, he has sometimes he has a certain access even into the heavenly places, it appears. But chiefly, when we think of him, and this is what sets us on our guard, he is in or on this earth, this world. He is not yet being committed to hell or to that lake of unquenchable fire where he shall be, where he and all the other fallen angels will be reserved forever and forever and remain there forever, away from us, away from God's people. He's not yet there. And as we have in Job chapter 1 and verse 7, where the Lord says to Satan, where do you come from? Where have you come from to come to me? God knew, but he's asking him for our information. Satan answers the Lord and says, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So sometimes he has access to the heavenlies, but more than not, until he's consigned to that lake of unquenchable fire, he's destroyed with all of the other angels and unbelievers in hell. He is in this world. He's in the earth. He's going up and down, to and fro in it. As I said this morning from Peter, he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Not only those outside of the church tonight, but those in it as well, seeking to devour us. He sought, he desired Peter that he might sift him like wheat. And he wants to do exactly the same to you and me as Christians and as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, if we are believers in Jesus Christ. But there is encouragement here, isn't there? There is comfort, because he's not like God. You see, God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. But Satan isn't omnipresent. His places are limited. And he's limited to just one place at a time. Sometimes perhaps he may appear before God, but if he's here in this world, he can only be in one place at a time. He's not everywhere at the same time. He is not omnipresent. But he may sometimes deceive you and I into thinking he is, because he has many forces. There are many angels that fell with him, many devils, many demons. And they can be on our case on a regular basis. And so we think he is everywhere, but he is not. So there is some comfort there, but there's enough here also for us to be warned and always to be on our guard. My dear Christian, if you've dropped your guard recently, and if he's lulled you into a false sense of security, and if you're falling asleep spiritually, you be careful. It's an unwise thing to fall asleep when there's a lion around. People don't do that when they go on safari. People don't do that when they go in the bush. Neither should you. Satan's going about like a roaring lion. So be careful. So I'd ask you at the end of this first point, do you know his place? Do you appreciate and realize his place? Sometimes in the heavenlies, but more than that, somewhere, even tonight, working this way. I wonder where he is. I trust he's far from us, and all of his allies might be far from us as well. But watch out, he is going about as a roaring lion. Keep on your guard spiritually. Make sure that every day you put on the whole armour of God, that you might withstand these wiles of the devil, having done all to stand, and stand against his wicked forces as well. So remember that, and take that on board, and apply it, and make sure you watch out for him this week. Know his place. Second thing tonight is, not only his place, but also his power, his great power. What can we say about his power tonight? So not only knowing where he is, that he's around, so we mustn't seek repose, because these enemies are abroad, we must be careful, but also in the light of his power, we must be on our guard as well. How great is his power? Well, his power is greater than ours, greater than man's, greater than fallen man's, of course, greater than ours as Christians, greater than the power of the Christian church and people within the church, any of them, however godly they may be or appear to be. What is it that he can do? Well, with God's permission, the scriptures teach us that he's able to affect and influence our bodies. Now, when things go wrong with our bodies, it is not always him. It can just simply be sickness. But he can afflict and influence our bodies. This is what he did to Job in Job chapter 2 and verse 7. He smote with God's permission in order to try Job, try Job's faith. God was going to overrule it for his own wise and holy purposes. He smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot even to the very crown of his head. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly life and ministry, he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, healing them, physically healing them, because Satan had oppressed them. There was one lady who was bowed over. Satan had kept her in like that for many, many years. He can afflict our bodies. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, we read even of the Apostle Paul, that the Lord permitted, in order that God's grace might be sufficient for the Apostle Paul and to keep him humble in spite of all the wonderful revelations and the visions and the tremendous Christian experience that he had, God permitted Satan to buffet Paul and to give him this thorn in the flesh, whatever it might be. It might have been something wrong with the apostle's eyes or one of his eyes. Lest Paul, he says, should be exalted above measure. But there, the Lord permitted Satan to do something physically to Paul, to afflict him physically, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet even Paul. So he's powerful. He's more powerful than us. He can afflict us physically, but also, my dear friends, he's far more stronger than us spiritually. Every single one of us, whether we be believers or not. These are the kind of descriptions that we have of him to show this to us and to prove this to us. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1. He's described as a Leviathan, like a great monster, the piercing serpent, that crooked serpent, the dragon he's also called in that verse. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 11 verse 21 calls him a strong man armed, stronger than us spiritually, able to keep us spiritually, keep us in sin, keep us in kingdom. And it's that stronger one, Christ, delivers us from out of his kingdom and from our sins. He's the strong man armed who keeps his palace and his goods are in peace. He is the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. that we had earlier, who has blinded the minds of those who believe not. He's blinded them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We have this also in Ephesians 2:2. That earlier too, I think. He's the one who has the power of death. I'll explain that a bit later on. And he's the one that Peter describes as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. So he is more powerful than we are. He can, if God permits him, he can afflict our bodies and afflict our minds and tempt our souls and try us and bring us down. And he's also too strong for us spiritually. He's too strong for you if you're not a Christian, for you to do anything about your salvation or to deliver you from his power. God has got to do that. The power of God has got to do that, has got to save you. And Christian, he's too strong for you as well. He can easily overcome you. He's easily overcame Adam and Eve. He easily overcame, and they were in perfection. But it was possible for them to sin, and they did, because he tempted them. He easily overcame godly David and many other others. Peter, by a little girl, a young girl. And as a result, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He can easily overcome you. So remember that, humble yourself, look to the Lord for grace and for strength, not to be overcome by him, but to receive God's strength to resist temptation, resist denying Christ at any time. So his strength is greater than ours, greater than human power. His strength, his power may even possibly be greater than one of the greatest angels, the Archangel Michael. Now he is the archangel who had special care of the Jews in Old Testament times. One of the greatest, one of the most powerful, one of the mightiest and strongest of God's elect angelic host. Yet Satan might be more powerful than he is. The most powerful of all, perhaps. The angel that God made in the beginning. Because in Jude 9 we read this, that Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Even Michael dared not bring against Satan a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan." He didn't do it himself. He didn't do it in his own name, by his authority. He did it in the name of the Lord. It is perhaps an indication that Satan is even stronger than the strongest of the even of the unfallen angels. But praise God, my dear friends, you don't have to be terrified, you don't have to be petrified, you don't have to sit shaking in your chairs and fearful to go out through those doors tonight and back out into the world to be witnesses for Christ as Christians. But why is that? Because although he's more powerful than you are, powerful than the highest angels, his power is infinitely less than God's, and he's in God's control. God is controlling him at all times in everything that he does, and he even overrules what he does to fulfill his plan and purposes. Remember, he controlled Satan in the experience of Job. God said to him, "All right," he said, for a while, "Job's in your hands, and everything that he has is in your power. Only on himself put not forth thine hand. Spare his life." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Job 1:12, and in Job 2:6 we read that the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he, Job, is in your hand," speaking again to the devil, "but save his life." In other words, he is in God's control. He can go so far, if God permits him, but no further. And that is why we need to not look at the devil and be frightened, but look to God and know, trust in him, that he will protect us from Satan's power. So, do you know where he is? If you know where he is, he could be anywhere. We don't know where he is in this world. He's always going to keep us on our guard. And do you know his power, how powerful he is? On the one hand, it's going to humble us, keep us close to the Lord. We realize just how powerful he is. But in that, he is far, infinitely less powerful than God. We're not going to freeze and not do anything, because he is in God's control. God is of infinite, God is omnipresent, and he's also omnipotent and almighty. Satan is a defeated foe. isn't he? But we need to know his power that we might know our enemy. Third thing tonight is this, the last thing. We've seen his where he is, we see how powerful he is, but finally, how does he exert that power? What does he do? What has he done from the beginning? And what does he continue to do? What are his works? John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 mentions about the works of the devil. Well, what are the works of the devil? The works of the devil have been these. First of all, he was the one who caused. Yes, we're still accountable. We're still responsible. We could still die and go to a lost eternity because we fell, because we sinned. But who caused the first sin? Who caused the fall? Who brought sin into the world and death by sin? The devil did. He caused the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. He came into the serpent. He attacked Eve. Eve then brought Adam into sin. But ultimately, the devil did this. And if you have any problems with the historicity of the first chapters of Genesis, which you should not if you're a Christian, listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. He said, Paul said, I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. He wasn't writing about it there as though it's some kind of myth and legend made up as historical fact. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, who has caused the world to be like it is today? God made it perfect. Why is it as it is? Satan caused it. Why do you sin, my dear friends? This is why. He caused sin in the beginning and sin has passed to you. He's caused all the evil, all the trouble in this world. We have nothing to thank him for, but everything to hold him in repugnance for. He caused our fall, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And as a result of that, there is a sense in which he controls the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, we had it a little bit earlier on. We say, surely God has the power of that. He has the power, he has the keys of death and of hell. He determines who is going to die and who's going to go to a lost eternity and who's going to be saved. Yes, that is true. But as far as the power of death is concerned, because Eve and then Adam listened to the tempter, or Eve listened to the tempter and then Adam was tempted and sinned, they gave themselves into the hands of this enemy. They sinned. They broke God's law. And Satan has every right to demand of God, as people are saved, to keep that law and to demand that unrepentant sinners do die and go to a lost eternity. There is that sense in which he has the power. He controls the power of death under God. We've given ourselves into his hands, and by justice he can demand that sinners die and go to a lost eternity unless they repent and believe in Jesus Christ as their Saviour, as their own personal Lord and Saviour. Thirdly then, he controls all unbelievers. Do you realise that, my dear friend? If you're not a Christian here tonight, who is it that is controlling you? You think that you're in control of your life. You are not. Satan is in control of you. You've given yourself over into his hands. You've sinned against him. He controls you. He controls your life. And this is the teaching of the scriptures in many, many places. Remember what our Lord Jesus Christ said to the unbelieving Jews in John 8 and verse 44. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. What were they doing? They were going about trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he is the father of it. Those unbelieving Jews were controlled by Satan, by the devil. And all unbelieving amongst the other nations of the Gentiles, they are also in his hands. The strong man armed has them, those who have not been spoiled out of his hands. And John says in 1 John 5 and verse 19, we know that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the way in which he controls all unbelievers is this. He hides from them. He hides the glorious gospel of Christ from them by blinding their minds to it. and by ordering and controlling their lives to his ends. That's a solemn and serious thing, my dear friend, isn't it? To think about that. But if you're not a Christian tonight, if you're not repented of your sins, if you've not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled and died for you on the cross to pay the penalty of your sins, to deliver you from this person, from his kingdom, into his kingdom, one day to glory, you are controlled by the devil. He controls your mind and what you think. He controls your life, where you go, what you do, what you say, the things that you do. Although God has given you skills and talents, it's all been given over to him and will continue to be so until you repent and you believe the good news that Jesus came into the world to save such as you. No salvation for him, but salvation is offered to you. Grace is offered, and God commands you to turn from your sins, to turn from this being, and to turn to him and trust in him for the salvation of your soul. Until then, he controls you. And then after, God does. You come under his sweet and blessed influence and control, the influence of the Spirit of God in your life. And finally tonight, he not only controls all unbelievers, my dear friends, let us remember, he confronts you and I as members of the church and as Christians. How does he do this? He does this, remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us to God when we do things wrong. And he accuses us to ourselves when we do those things which are not right in the sight of God. And therefore what we must do is we must confess these things again, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin once more. But he'll do that. He'll accuse you to God, and he'll accuse you to yourself when you do things wrong. But keep close to the Saviour. They say, daily confess your sins, daily be washed in the blood. Don't listen to him, just listen to God's word to you and his promises to you. He accuses us. What he mentioned, he's able to affect our bodies with illness or sickness. When illness, sickness or disease come, it's not always him, but it can be, it could be, something to bear in mind. He also affects our minds. Not only affect our bodies, our minds, with depression. Again, depression is always him, but it sometimes can be despair. He sows despair. He discourages us. He gets us down. He makes us feel hopeless. And also he can cause moodiness. Listen to this quotation. It's from a minister and a doctor, a man who's a Christian. He says, he is responsible for most of our moodiness, those mood swings. Our depressions, spiritual depression, and our sense of hopelessness and despair. Every time we're turned in upon ourselves and find ourselves looking at our weakness, failure, disability, or anything else in ourselves, it's always him. He turns men and women in upon themselves, knowing that when they're looking at themselves, where are they not looking? They're not looking at God. They're not looking to Jesus Christ by faith. They're looking within. Sometimes it's good to look within and examine ourselves, to search ourselves. But not if it brings us down in this way. That's him. Keep looking to God. And so he produces all these moods and depressions within us. He can do that. Beware of him. Watch out for him. When you turn in upon yourselves and all your sin is getting you down, it can be him getting on your back. Remember that case in the life of Martin Luther, where he felt like a satanic power, so it was so real in the room where he was studying. He grabbed his inkwell and threw it behind him because the devil was so real to him and getting him down. And Satan gets the best of God's people, the most godly of his people, down sometimes, perhaps more than ever. Sometimes the most godliest can go through the most spiritual darkness. Think of someone like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He can deceive us, deceive even the very elect. He can desire to have us, that he might sift us like wheat or seek to devour us like a lion. He can excite and inflame our passions and our lusts. He can fire his fiery darts at us. He opposes or resists us at every turn and hinders our work, because he is our adversary. And finally, he is, of course, able to tempt us with his deceits, suggestions, and wiles. That's his place, his power, And those are some of his works. Do you know his works? Do you know what he gets up, what he's got up to all over these years of this world so far? Do you know what he's up to tonight? Do you understand your enemy? Do you know your enemy? Because Scripture speaks, doesn't it, about not being ignorant of Satan's devices, his wiles and his cunnings. If we know our enemy, we know what to look out for. We can be on our guard. Remember, know his works. So I want to conclude with the following quotation. To where he is, how powerful he is, the things that he does. But remember this, that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in and through his life, death and resurrection, he's already vanquished the devil. And we as Christian people, remember, should be enabled by the Lord to resist him. And we can. James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do that. And that's the promise. Resist him steadfastly and he will flee from you. In the power of the Lord we can resist, knowing that we can defeat him. We can withstand him, not roll over to him, not give in to his temptations. We can withstand him. And in Revelation 12:11, we're told that the saints overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You and I, if we're Christians, do not spend our lives in craven fear of him, mighty as he is, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil's in the world, but God by his Spirit is in you. We need to remember these things. We need to especially remember that we might be strong, be good witnesses and stand up and do the works of God until Christ comes or calls.